Before we begin this podcast, we want to give a huge shout out to all of our patrons over on patreon.com/bitterbrownfems. Y'all's donations, no matter how little or how much, really help this podcast continue to be produced. If you want to help support this podcast, you can join now. The link is in the description. And for $5, you get a video version of all the new episodes. For $10, you get an extra episode every month. And other cool things. Eventually, we'll get back to live streaming and things like that. So, yeah, check it out. A special shout out to Christian G, Eveline P, and Cassandra G. Y'all are superstars. And yeah, check out the link in bio. Let's start the show. We are doing it live. Dun-dun-dun-dun. And hello, hello, hello. I am one of your hosts, Ruben. And I am once again coming to you from Portland, Oregon.
And this is your other co-host, Cassandra, coming to you from El Paso, Texas.
Also, Texas in the house. We should have recorded last week where you were not in El Paso, Texas for once. And then,
Yeah, then we could have spiced it up a little bit.
I know. What would you even say? Like New Mexico?
I
What is
was
cool
in
about there?
this last week I was in Phoenix.
Oh, I guess
So
Phoenix is seen as cool.
is it?
Is Phoenix, there's a town in Arizona that's like a metropolis, but it's like the most conservative metropolis in the nation, even more so than a metropolis in Texas. But I forget which one it
That's
is.
not surprising at all to me.
Yeah. Because like Dallas is like surprisingly liberal, right? And
It's
then
getting there, I think. It's gotten
Houston,
more over the years.
and Dallas used to be like the conservative metropolis, I believe. Because Houston's always been liberal. And what else is there? San Antonio, of course.
Austin. So it's
Oh.
like Houston, Austin, Dallas.
Yes. Austin was like the beacon for the liberals in Texas, right?
The fake ass
For that white ones,
program.
anyways. Yeah, but enough about Texas.
Yeah, enough of that.
But not enough about Joe Biden's prostate. So Joe Biden has been diagnosed with aggressive prostate cancer. Thoughts, Cassandra?
You know what? My thoughts are I don't really have a lot of thoughts on that. I think it sucks actually when he's how old is he?
Like
He's
80
old.
something.
I feel like he's gonna get the best treatment available to him because he has access to healthcare compared to everyone else who unfortunately is diagnosed with cancer that has no access to healthcare. That's what I hate about like war criminals or like these terrible rich people dying when they're like 90 or whatever. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I don't know. It pisses me off more than anything. Because I'm
Yeah.
like, okay, like what does that change? You know what I mean? Like he's like I said, he's still getting access to, he's gonna die comfortably. He's gonna see still live this long, unfortunately. So
Yeah, shit like this, it like makes me not believe in karma, to be honest with you.
exactly. I know a lot of people are celebrating or being or laughing, and you know, I think that we need to be more conscious about how we speak about these things, like, because there are people who are diagnosed with these things and it's like they don't deserve it, right? And
Yeah.
to say that Joe Biden, like, oh, this is what he gets, is kind of implying that everyone else who's gotten cancer deserved it, and that's not true, right?
Yeah.
That's why I'm more of just like, okay,
And
and like, okay.
you know what we should talk about, like the fact that like more young people are getting cancer, and young men are getting cancer, prostate cancer specifically, at younger ages now. I knew somebody who was 39 when he got it, and somebody else who had a scare at like 31 recently. So there's definitely some things happening in the way we're living our life nowadays that's leading to this more in young men. So that's frightening. But somebody tweeted, like, you know what? Jill Biden didn't do her job, because if she would have stimulated that prostate more often, this would not have happened.
Stop.
So if I'm not mistaken, getting your prostate stimulated somehow is supposed to help with this situation.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
Interesting.
I'm not sure what the science is, but
That's what we heard.
that's what I heard, and but
Just
something else,
passing it along for everybody out there.
something else that I will say is that, like, okay, yeah, this bitch has prostate cancer. This bitch obviously had something for the last fucking decade, has been dying on national television in
And they
public.
still made him president, and they still forced him down our throats. Like,
Yup.
they still ran this man and would have continued to
Yup.
again.
Girl. Because it's not like prostate cancer comes overnight, right? And, like, obviously, let's not even talk about dementia, but, like, they ran him when he was like, when he struck out, like, what should have been like an easy run against Trump in that first debate. And we almost had someone that was gonna die like immediately, like, to his, if he won somehow, he would have died immediately during his second term. And you ran this dude in 2020, smashed any chance of even a quote unquote progressive run with Bernie, even though, we know who that man is now for the most part. But I'm just thinking about how irresponsible the Democrats were to even like dangle this corpse in front of us as like some sort of like savior of democracy, when a bitch isn't even gonna stay alive. Like, that is so angering. That's my thoughts on that guy. Anything else you want to add to him?
I don't. I agree with you with the Democrats running him, parading him around while he's literally fucking dying.
Something else that is not dying that was saved, though, was PBS.
Was it saved?
I mean, Sesame Street.
I mean, okay,
I
Sesame
don't know about
Street.
PBS. Actually, PBS in general, no, they're in danger, girl. PBS and NPR, they're being cut by like federal funding and shit. But Sesame Street itself was just acquired by Netflix, which is its own, problem. But Mac HBO was about to essentially like kill like all future production of Sesame Street. But Netflix saved it, so they're still gonna make new episodes and old episodes, and some new stuff is still gonna come out on PBS. But they still have the whole network to save. That and NPR. Like, these are, as publicly accessible as networks as it gets in America, and it's important to keep them running. Like, it, I mean, to me, this looks like a federal attack on a couple things. Firstly, education, specifically childhood education, coming at a time when parents are being overworked and, childcare is impossible to afford in a lot of places. You're taking away like a space that children can continue their education, or even have it in place of their pre-K and kindergarten educations, where sometimes those are being cut as well. I also see it as an attack on like free journalism, especially stuff that is not privately funded, right? We have to remember that all the other publications, like the New York Times, LA Times, Washington Post, all that shit is like owned by billionaires. It's owned by conglomerates, by corporations. And thirdly, it's an attack on the arts. When people just see art as something like frivolous and something that one does as a hobby, but art is also like one of the ways that we're allowed to criticize the political landscape, to talk about the current moment in our society, and really to reflect what things are and what they could be. And so, to me, this is just like a three-pronged attack on like the future generations.
No, absolutely, absolutely agree with that. And it's like I'm thinking of this whole also the like you're right on why they're attacking PBS and NPR, and it's also like this whole thing of like people saying that PBS is quote woke, and somehow damaging to children, and it's like PBS has not changed like since I grew up watching it, like you know what I mean? It's not like they got this whole new agenda and all these new ideals. These have always been the ideals that they've had. Sesame Street, Arthur, like Mr. Rogers have always been about kindness. If we're gonna like the number one thing is like very basic shit to teach children. And so for them to turn around and be like, no, they're too woke. It's like, that's what you think woke is. Is kindness, is you know, community, is solidarity, is love. So, yeah.
Yeah, somebody said Sesame Street, I mean PBS isn't woke, like you just grew up to be a heart like a bad person. Like
Exactly.
cuz I yeah, like woke is just becoming like synonymous with like empathy in some people's conservatives' minds, and that is wild to me.
Absolutely, they are anti-empathy, anti-connecting or seeing the humanity in other people, like period, whether that's trans people, whether that's people on in Gaza, children even, right? It doesn't even it's not just adults, it's like attacking children as well. Like how they've all kind of rallied behind attacking Miss Rachel, who is a YouTuber, if I'm not mistaken. I don't watch her show, obviously. I wasn't really I don't have a young child, so I don't I haven't watched her show, but I'm like, you know, I get the gist of like her channel, right? Like making content for children on her show and like her advocating for all children and everyone kind of attacking her for that, and for sticking or saying anything about the genocide in Gaza, right? But that kind of goes into like the values of like what we're talking about, like PBS and those shows that children watch, the people that they look up to, the people that they watch. And these are not people that they want children watching. They don't, yeah, it's very anti-empathy, like just getting to the root of it, which is wild.
Yeah. I'm also thinking about how like there is obviously something sinister about like first of all like woke came from a black revolutionary practice of being vigilant to the way that racism is functioning around us, and was expanded to be someone who's socially conscious, and I am alarmed at how this term about being essentially conscious was
Oh,
corrupted
yeah,
to
co-opted, corrupted.
Essentially just mean, trying to do better, trying to be a better person. And it's just like emblematic of the way that conservatives don't look to be better people and how we have to stop like trying to appeal to their humanity when that's not who they're trying to be, right? They take pleasure in being inhumane. And similarly with how we've talked about like we need to stop thinking about how like oh what the government is doing is illegal, it's like they don't care. Like we need to stop thinking about things in terms of like legality and benevolence and start thinking about like oh these are like people who want to harm us
Absolutely.
and act accordingly.
Yes. Which reminds me why I hate this like And I know a lot of it's like, oh, it's just a joke or whatever, but the meme that's like that friend that's too woke,
Oh, yeah.
or people that are like, not to be too woke, but like, no, I need you bitches to be woke. Like, who are you trying to impress by not being woke, like white supremacists? Essentially, like, you're doing the right's work for them in this whole like anti-woke thing. Like, I stopped using the term. Like, it's wild to see the co-option and like you said, the corruption of like the term woke. I got okay, irrelevant.
Say it.
Because it did it did come. It's a term that's been around for decades. It's not like the it's this is a brand new term that came up, right? Like, Black people have been using this term, and then it got co-opted a little bit. And so like I kind of just straight did not use it, because then we had like non-Black people co-opting also the term woke, which is initially why I had gotten into that little thing with Snow the product, because she trademarked woke.
Yeah.
Whatever, that's a whole other thing. But then it kind of got, it is where it is now. Now it's like woke is, you know what I mean? Like what we're just talking about. And so now I'm like, well, I guess I'm fucking woke. I don't care. I don't give a fuck. Like, it doesn't hurt me if someone calls me, especially someone like a fucking racist. Like, why should that bother you that they're calling you that? Like, not to be too woke. Like, no, yes, I need you bitches to be woke. I need you to be more than woke, but just at a basic level, that's why I hate those tweets or those memes, especially like during this political climate.
Yeah. So everybody get more woke, actually.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think there's like a base level of like progressiveness that is sometimes embraced by like online culture and the youth, but I am seeing the limits of that progressiveness, right? I am thinking directly about the way that we all, I think, correctly reacted to the allegations against Luigi Mangione, right, as the CEO, quote unquote, killer, right? I'm saying allegedly and quote unquote because,
Because
there's,
he's innocent until proven guilty.
yeah, and right now ain't no proof, right? All the Hulu documentaries and YouTube documentaries are just speculation. So I saw all that and it was like, oh wow, for a moment, like the kids are okay. But then I'm looking at a recent case of Rodney Hinton, who is currently facing trial for allegedly killing a sheriff's deputy in Cincinnati. And this for this like a day or two right after the Cincinnati Police Department killed his teenage son. And there just hasn't been uproar about that, right? How do I say this? And one of the main reasons for this is Rodney Hinton is not only like an older person, but also is a Black man, right? And doesn't have the same privileges that Luigi Mangione had. And so even though, folks who are out here running saying ACAB and all that shit, like they have not talked about this. And it, if Luigi Mangione is proven innocent, a big part of that is going to be due to like the support that he has online. And if we want somebody who also acted allegedly on his morals to also be given that same grace, then there needs to be more conversation about that. That is someone who, if he did it, was going through an unimaginable grief when police killed his 18-year-old son for allegedly being in a stolen car.
Yes. Yeah, I saw the difference in both of those cases, and there's a lot. I know that there's people that are like, well, why did he have to kill a random cop? And it's like, because he's a cop. That's the whole point, right? That cops don't see us as individual people. Like, they don't even care when they kill anybody. It only hurts them when it's one of their own. That's the only time that they have any empathy or any reaction to death. So to me, it's like, I get it. I support like this father, because like at the end of the day, he's a parent, you know. This is like a side note, but it's also, he's a parent, he's a grieving father, and why wouldn't we extend like solidarity or sympathy and empathy towards that, given everything? I hate looking back on 2020 and like how sh I don't know what the word is.
What's
Who
that word?
not
For show, that whole thing was?
yeah, or like how like that was like the uprisings that happened, and it felt like there was movement happening, right? Like something was happening, and then it all just cut, and like now we're here, and it's wild that jump from those from what was going on in 2020 to now. To people being like, oh no, why did he kill a cop?
I am gonna
Like,
say, like, I don't think it's a jump to, I think maybe acknowledge that having Biden and Kamala, like, be the Democratic folks, like, the representative of the Democratic Party that year was a primary killer of that movement.
No,
Like, you have
exactly.
these cops, like, essentially, be presented as the good guys. While at the same time, the movement is going anti-cop. Like, that is a dissonance that's hard to overcome, especially when the cops have all the power.
Exactly.
But yes, we need to show support for someone who is, living by their morals and who, still hasn't been proven guilty as well. Yeah. Someone we shouldn't support, though, is all the South Africans that the
Oh,
white South Africans that Trump is giving refugee status here in the US.
fuck them. Fuck them. Like we don't have, like we're exporting like white supremacists now. Like we don't
Importing,
have,
yeah.
like importing, sorry, like we don't have enough. Like we're importing them now. I'm about to call
Yeah.
ICE on them.
Girl, some of these
Oh,
look like
well.
they're from fucking,
Florida.
yeah.
Like we don't have these people in Florida. Are you kidding me?
Oh my God.
Lana
But
Del Rey's husband.
real. Do you know why they were given refugee status?
Because they are being oppressed in South Africa, supposedly.
Why are they being oppressed, do you think?
Because they're white farmers, and you know, it's very hard for them to face that level of violence as white South Africans.
And it's like, if you're from Africa, why are you white? A, let's ask that question. And the answer is because of imperialism and then enslavement and then apartheid, right? And so, like, some of these folks who are claiming to be like, Farmer Joe and shit, like, no, these are fucking either previous like slave owners or like descendants of them. There's not like some faraway thing in the way that I don't know, white Americans can now, say like, oh, that was, that's nothing to do with me. That was, generations ago before anything, but no, these people immediately like, apartheid ended in what, the 90s, in South Africa. Like, these people just recently, within our lifetime, like, were profiting off of these injustices about this in like inhumanity. And now they're being And now they're supposedly being persecuted in South Africa. But yes, if someone fucking destroyed your people, your families, for generations, you are gonna hold some resentment towards them. Like, especially if it happened just within your lifetime. I think of a couple of things. I think about how, Israel is bombing Palestine under the guise of like getting rid of Hamas, but like in that process are creating, Hamas 2 and 3, right? Because like if you're destroying everything that people love, they're gonna hold hatred in their hearts for you. And to backtrack a little bit to Rodney Hinton, one of the ways that I made my mother understand the protests in 2020, she was like, it's okay that people like manifest themselves, but why do they gotta be violent? Why do they have to tear down the city and steal and burn things down? And one of the ways I made her understand was like, Mom, if the police killed me, like what would your be your re like how would you react? Wouldn't you want to tear the like everything down? Everything that like stole your child from you? Like, and so to bring it back to this, like, yes, like you're gonna these white South Africans face like this backlash because the people who they hurt are living amongst them now. And now they're no longer being actively oppressed by them. But why do you think that these South Africans got refugee status while like countless Latin Americans and African and other African folks are not being allowed here?
Yeah. Were you asking me that question? Are you talking to me in general? I'm
I
like,
mean,
well, yeah,
rhetorical,
I
but
mean, obviously,
also,
yeah, because they're fucking white.
yeah.
Period. They're fucking white. And it's not surprising, but angering for sure, because we're the you know, everything that we're seeing publicly happen with ICE and deportations, and then here comes 150 fucking fake refugees because they're white. Fucking settlers just because they're fucking white, while black and brown families are being torn apart and sent to torture camps. You know what I mean? So yeah, it is, it's all fun, you know, to laugh, whatever, but it is very angering.
I am reminded of a couple of things. I am reminded that a Venezuelan mother was like separated from her 1-year-old daughter recently, and like the Venezuelan, like Maduro had to get involved to like reunite them, essentially like threatening like war and shit because of this family that got separated. I am also thinking about Andri Hernandez Romero, who is a queer immigrant who was taken like for no reason into a Salvadoran prison for and was not given a due process, literally left Venezuela because he felt attacked for his queerness and has essentially now been imprisoned with a lot of folks who are gonna hurt him, right? And I actually found out about him through this Texas drag queen, Luscious Massacre, who is, very hilarious, but is also like always like representing like undocumented folks through Texas, and she's standing outside ICE detention centers calling for like liberation of folks, calling attention to folks, and that is it's horrifying and heartbreaking to see what has happened to queer Latinx folks and how little noise there's been for Andri Hernandez Romero. But I'm proud that like the drag community, the queer community is trying to bring awareness to one of their own. And I think that is the lot of things, except for the last thing, which is that right now it is not safe to fly into New York. That's
Into New York. Okay.
NEWARK,
Oh,
which is also in the East
okay. I'm like,
Coast,
wait, into
and
New
also, I
York.
believe, like nearish New York. But I don't know the East Coast, so somebody's gonna drag me later. Yes. So basically, all their like. So for as advanced as technology is right now, there's no way for like pilots to always know what's happening at the landing strips, and so they need air controllers to like direct people, right? And that means constant connection to folks. And recently, in the New York airport, the air controllers lost contact with the airplanes for like almost 2 minutes, which like so many things could have gone bad, right? Just two airplanes landing at the same time is hundreds of deaths, right? And so all the air controllers like who were working that shift like went like had so also the way that the air controller like labor laws exist is that like you have to be considered like super sound of mind, where you cannot have any mental health issues. So like taking one mental health day, like that cannot really happen, despite the fact that they're all expected to work like 6 days a week, 10 hours a day. Your mental health, quote unquote, has to be so fit that if you have like one mental health day off, you actually have to take like 3 months off.
That's
So
wild.
all these people who work that shift obviously had to take a mental health day, but the way the labor laws are set up is that they actually have to take hella mental health day now by like law. And there's not enough air controllers to take over these shifts because of cuts that Reagan did in the 80s. It all goes back to Reagan, and that were exacerbated by Trump recently when he fired more federal employees, right? And so right now, it's like unsafe to fly to Newark because of those lack of air control. But yeah, we both just flew recently.
I'm not going to the East Coast
Oh, girl, no, do
anytime.
not. No. Zoom calls only over there.
Right? I mean, I don't know what I'd be doing over there anyway,
I
but
mean,
yes.
NYU, you can book us.
Okay,
Book a East if you're in the East Coast, book us to call to talk in your college, but only through a Zoom call.
no. I'm like, no.
No.
Yes. Yeah, I flew to Phoenix, but it's such a short, that's such a short flight. It doesn't even count. It doesn't count, but I was still scared. I'm still
Oh,
scared.
super
I'm scared
terrified.
now getting on any plane.
Oh, I heard a rattle recently in one of the flights I was on, and I was like, I literally was like, okay, you know, this is a good place to call it quits.
That's scary. Yeah. But I think that's all we have to catch up on.
Yeah. What made you less bitter this week?
This week, well, this week's kind of tricky because it is Monday, but let me
And
just go back
last week,
last
yes. Or the
week.
last 2 weeks.
Well, last week I saw Rilo Kiley. So that was like the highlight for me. A dream come true after I don't know how many years,
What was your favorite song?
17 plus. Oh. They played all the good songs. Like there was probably like two songs that I wish that they would have played, but
Yeah.
other than that, they played all like all the good. They played "I Never," which is such a beautiful song, and like they sounded so good, like so good. Jenny's vocals sounded so good. They were good. I was gonna fight some white girl in the crowd,
Oh, you were like
but
front row, second row, huh?
I was there was nowhere really to go in front of me. There was like I was at the gate
Barricade.
essentially, and I was standing there, and like this, someone's tapping me on the shoulder, and I turn around. This girl's like doing this thing, like where she kind of gestured, like if she could pass through, and I look like I was kind of confused. I'm like, pass to where, bitch? You know what I mean? And then like we kind of just looked at each other and she's like, can I go, can I like get through? And I was like, no. And she looked so shocked that I said no, this white girl. And she was like, you're really not gonna let me through? And I was like, no, like why would I let you in front of me? Like this is such a weird, like you have the like the audacity, and then being shocked that I like that I said no is okay.
They're so used to it. They're
I
so used
know
to it.
they really are, but I, like that tripped me out that she was so shocked that I wouldn't let her in front of me. It was weird. But you know, white women. But anyway, other than that, yeah, it was amazing. And like I got to go with my best friend, which made it even more special because like we both listened to Rilo Kiley in high school. We love Rilo Kiley, so being able to see it with her was awesome. So that definitely made me less bitter. Kind of scratching that out. I don't know if I'll ever see Rilo Kiley again, but that's okay. That show was just like perfect.
Aww.
They played everything like well, you know what I mean? Like all their hits, like Portions for Foxes, Silver Lining, Does He Love You, Pictures of Success, like everything they played, even some not so bigger hits, I guess. But yeah, it was an amazing show. And you, I saw that you saw Beyonce like multiple times.
Yeah, I saw Beyonce twice.
Okay, twice.
That is what made me less bitter. But I am sad that I probably won't be able to see Rilo Kiley unless ticket prices go down here. Was not able to go to the festival
But
where,
wouldn't seeing Rilo Kiley be cheaper than seeing Beyonce?
I mean, not for the same experience. I only paid $70 for one of the nights.
For
And
Beyonce? Oh,
tickets right
wow.
now for Rilo Kiley are 180
Oh,
here.
really?
Yeah, and that's like
For like
before
the, or for
for
like
the
a
pit.
festival?
No, just a pit, just a regular shit here in
Okay,
Portland.
mine weren't
Yeah.
that expensive.
I know. I think originally they were like cheap, but they sold out so immediately.
So they're like resales.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's like it's gone down. It used to be like 500. So just looking at prices, seeing where that goes, so that yeah. Just yeah, to see if I can make it. It's this Friday here, but they're not playing my
Kylie?
yeah here in
Oh, in Portland?
Portland. Yeah,
Oh, okay.
they're not playing my favorite song of theirs ever, which is "Let Me Back In," but
Oh, that's a good song. I'm not even from LA, and that is such a pretty song.
yeah, that's my favorite Rilo Kiley song. It makes me like so emotional every time. But. Oh yeah. Seeing Beyonce did make me less bitter this week. I know that it's problematic and that's just something that I'm gonna live with. I think that
Okay.
that's my hall
It's your
pass.
legacy. That's your legacy.
You know, this last album, I think the progressives are giving it shit for like, oh, it's all Americana, but it's like, no, the album is like anti-American. She's saying like how much America has, you know, betrayed black people. But it is what it is. I had a great time. I went with my best friend one day and with my youngest sister and another best friend the other day. And yeah, that was incredible. I also saw Kylie Minogue, who was so cute, and
You saw Kylie
yeah,
Minogue? Where?
in LA, yeah, my trip to LA, no, here in Portland in the street, no, she would never come here. she would never come here. No, I'm surprised everybody fucking comes here. Who's oh, Lorde is coming here. I'm surprised she's coming.
That makes sense to me. Lord in Portland makes sense to me.
Yeah, Lorde is kind of Portlandy now that you know they're kind of a little they them. Yeah.
Called it
I
a
mean, yeah,
little.
I we called it a million years ago. I said non-binary mask lesbian Lord incoming. But yeah, that's what made me less bitter. I just love live music. I love
Same, yeah.
yeah, I somebody once said that, you know, they were really religious growing up, but then they
It was
saw.
like that they thought so because of the praise and worship and how emotional it made them, and then they realized they just like live music. I can relate to that because praise and worship was like, yeah, like my favorite thing about going to church too.
My favorite thing about going to church was the possibility of getting rid of my life-threatening asthma, but that's neither here nor there.
Wow, God don't love you that much.
And yeah, that's about it from us. Anything else?
Nope.
Nope. All right, y'all. Thank y'all for joining us. We will see
Okay.
you next time.
Okay, bye.
Bye.